You're listening to Vatican Radio.
This is Vatican Radio. I'm Chris Altieri. This weekend here in Rome, the Church is marking the extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy in a special way, with the Jubilee of Deacons. As their very title suggests, taken as it is from the Greek word for servant, diakonos, deacons are ordained to a ministry of service in the Church. They proclaim the good news liturgically, they assist priests at the altar, and they preach to the faithful on matters pertaining to authentic Christian living. Deacons also bring the Blessed Sacrament to the sick in hospital and to the housebound. They visit prisoners, offering them both companionship and counsel. They baptize, receive the marriage vows of couples entering holy matrimony, and they pray for the dead. Two deacons from the United States, Deacon Doug Breckenridge and Deacon Greg Kandra, visited Vatican Radio during the course of their pilgrimage to celebrate the Jubilee of Deacons, and they spoke with me about the joys and the challenges of their vocation, especially in the present generation of the Church in the West, which recovered the permanent diaconate as a distinct ministry during and after the Second Vatican Council.
Meeting other deacons from around the world has been so exciting and gratifying, and having so much in common, and trying to talk to them in different languages. It's a little mini Pentecost that we're having here among the diaconate, but it's really been a joy to be here.
It's been really an exciting trip for me. It always reminds me of our beginnings of this church, and one of the things that we did tour was the Hall of the 40 Martyrs, and that was very moving to be in that area, knowing that 1,800 years ago, someone sat there and was Christian and was part of our faith, that witnessed their faith somewhat in the ultimate way.
Yeah, it's a remarkable thing to see the development of specifically Christian and Roman identity in that way. It's remarkable, and it's a blessing, I think, that we have it preserved. But the recovery of the permanent diaconate in the West and in the Latin Church is not that old. You guys are not of the first generation of permanent deacons. Given the pace at which things in the Church move, I think we could arguably say that we are not completely out of the experimental phase with this. And I'm wondering how you think the Church is doing in figuring out how best to use the specific ministry of deacons.
It is still very much a work in progress. I think bishops, priests, and deacons themselves are still figuring it out. There is still a developing theology of the diaconate. Priests are still getting used to having us around and figuring out what to do with us. Pastors are figuring out how to use us best. Some people are still resistant to having deacons involved. Some people question why we have deacons and why they're even necessary. But that's changing. Just in the 15 years or so since I began formation, there has been a real evolution, at least in my little corner of the country in New York, where we're now getting a generation of priests who grew up with deacons. Some of them are even sons of deacons. Some of them grew up in parishes with deacons, and they have a much greater familiarity and appreciation for what the diaconate is and what it can be. And I think it's going to continue to evolve. I think also as it's gone on, the demographic has gotten different. The guys doing this have gotten younger. It used to be largely retirees and men doing it as kind of a second career. And now you're getting guys in their 30s and 40s and 50s, and a lot of them have young families. And they bring that life experience into their ministry and into the pulpit, and that's also informing the way the diaconate is developing.
It's fascinating to me to be able to talk to anyone who is experiencing this real, concrete, and palpalable renewal, tangible renewal of something that the Church had and lost for reasons that, history happens. How do you think we're doing in terms of the recovery of the diaconate?
Well, I think, and I know a lot of other people would agree with this, it is one of the great success stories of Vatican II. and the numbers keep growing and growing. I think statistically in the United States, it is the one vocation of all of them that is continuing to grow and is not necessarily shrinking in terms of percentage, in terms of raw numbers. That tells you something. There is an attraction. There is something very appealing about what this vocation is, and people are responding to it. Other parts of the world, I'm not so sure. I think they're still developing it and still figuring it out, particularly in Africa and Asia and in parts of Europe. But in the United States, it's going gangbusters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my diocese in particular, they have three classes going at once. So every 2 years, they start a new class of usually 30 to 40 men into a program of diaconate. And so it's a six-year program for my diocese. It's a half year of inquiry, followed by a year of aspirancy, and then the rest is their candidacy.
And different dioceses have different programs, but they all pretty much line up the same way also, because this is not full-time formation very often. You're doing it nights and weekends. But that's a pretty protracted commitment in terms of time and energy. You're both married men. What was that conversation like, if you don't mind my prying a little bit, but they do pay me to ask questions?
Well, my wife was very supportive, and, you know, she and I prayed about this together when I was discerning this in early 2002, and she said, I just feel this is something that you're supposed to do. And I said, I do too, because we talked about maybe I should wait until after I'm retired. I don't have to do this right away, but there was just this impulse that I had that this was something I was being called to do now, and she agreed with me, and she has accompanied me through the whole journey. And
I think the fact that we're deacons probably tells you that our wives are very supportive, as I think a number of deacons' wives that have made it this far are supportive. A wife can choose to have her husband taken out of formation at any time without him knowing that his wife has asked. And so that's a...
Yeah, and the wife also has to, I think at least twice, has to sign a letter giving her consent, which goes to the bishop, her formal consent to her husband continuing.
Yeah, talk about giving women a greater say of the in the life of the church. That's
pretty powerful.
Yeah, that's a pretty powerful statement. And one that does speak also to the notion of matrimony as the consortium totius vitae.
Mm-hmm.
How has the diaconate informed your lives as married men?
I can tell you that it has deepened our relationship. We both are more active in the church now that I'm a deacon. And she's my wife, Debbie, is active in her own ministries and helps a lot around the church. But she's also active within and helping what I do. She's my best editor for my homilies, and she'll listen to me practice. She'll tell me when I'm saying something that I'm probably pushing the edge and back me off from the edge. She holds the towel during baptism. And
minister of the towel.
Minister of the towel. She'll make sure that I get the candle to the Godfather so he can go down and light it from the Easter candle, from the Paschal candle. So do a lot together. We participate every week in RCA to differing levels and differing degrees. And we also help with all aspects of the marriage ministry. I think it's one thing that as a married couple we bring is the ability to work with pre-married couples and help them into the church.
And I think something that a lot of wives have come to appreciate is that being the wife of a deacon is almost a vocation unto itself. And I know certainly in the Eastern tradition, it's considered that way. And even being the wife of a priest is considered something that many women in some cultures actually aspire to, to serve the church and to serve the community that way. And I think the wife has to be on board with being a public figure and being a figure of some prominence within the parish that people look up to or look to for sometimes advice or prayers or, you know, an avenue to get your husband to do something differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the wife has to be on board with that. But, you know, I've been very blessed. My wife is a great collaborator and a great prayer warrior. She makes it possible for me to do what I do.
The word deacon itself, it comes from the Greek word for servant. Service, diakonia, is one of the things to which the church calls all the baptized. And we're in the year of mercy. So much of the work of deacons ordained to that ministry of service involves what we used to learn in catechism as the works of mercy, corporal and spiritual. A lot of that maybe, though, is missed by the faithful. What's your elevator pitch for the diaconate that would make this vocation attractive to people who mightn't have considered it?
Well, I always tell people it's the second best decision I ever made, the first one being to marry my wife. But it is such an adventure and it is such a joy. I wake up some days and I can't believe I get to do what I do, and I get to serve the church the way that I do and serve the people of God the way that I do. And to intersect with people in their lives in this way, it is incredible and so satisfying. And every day, every week is different. It's an adventure. And, I tell guys who are about to be ordained, they'll contact me, send me emails from around the country, and I'll say, you're in for the ride of your life. You're going to love every minute of it.
You were listening to Deacon Greg Kandra there of the Diocese of Brooklyn in New York, and Deacon Doug Breckenridge of the Diocese of Dallas, Texas, speaking with me about their ministry in light of the Jubilee of Deacons in the extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy underway this weekend at the Vatican. I'm Chris Altieri.
You're listening to Vatican Radio.